Today's podcast comes from the program God's Plan for Marriage and Family, and it's entitled Shared Vision, The Godly Couple. In this lesson, Steve Springer focuses on how a couple can create a common view of their responsibilities, their understanding, their implementation, and how they evaluate their marriage.
This lesson one that we will now present is called Shared Vision, The Godly Couple, and it will be designed to help us to understand better how we as married individuals can work more closely together according to God's Word. And also, for those of you who are not married, you need to think about how you will work with your spouse in the future. And those of you who are teenagers, you want to think about what type of spouse that you wish to have. And you want to be certain that the spouse that you will eventually spend your life with will be the spouse who is godly. And we're going to talk about those things during this presentation. Let me introduce myself. My name is Steve Springer. I am married to Janice, and I have two sons. We have two sons who are grown. We have grandchildren. I have been a university professor. I have been an elementary and secondary teacher. I've had private practice in counseling as a business and also for the church. In addition, I have been an elder and a deacon in the church. All of my family are very important to me, and that is one reason that I wanted to make this particular presentation, because I feel like we can all share together in what is necessary. So I would ask you as you watch this to think about your family, those who you love, and how you might finish this presentation and go out and help them in any way you could. It may mean that all of us will need to make changes. Changes are hard, changes are difficult, but it's going to take those changes at the very basic level, all of us out within the world, to make marriage what God wants it to be. Well, what is the state of marriage worldwide? What is that? What is marriage worldwide? What's happening? Well, if you look at it, you see that there's discontent, there's distrust, there's disease in marriages, there's unfaithful spouses, there's mistreated children, there are abandoned children, there are spouses who end up in jail because of mistreatment of their other significant others and their children. There are problems that are what some might say are insurmountable. And this continues age through age from very dawn of civilization up to the time you are watching this today. It is a world without godly marriages. It is a sad world. It is a world that is influenced by the devil. It is a difficult world. We know that in James, the first chapter, verse 22, it tells us, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." What we're saying here is that you and I, as we watch this, and now as I tell you a little bit about the purpose of these lessons, that we are going to talk about this in the sense that we use what we're learning, that today, not tomorrow, we make those changes that are necessary. So the purpose of these lessons that we have will be to help all of us to garner all of our resources to be able to study God's Word from the opening of the book to the closing of the book and to determine how a marriage must be carried out in the most proper manner. So I would say that all of these lessons are going to be something that we should use wherever we can take the opportunity to use them. So hopefully it will provide us some thoughts. And my point here in mentioning these things would be to have you be attuned to what we're going to talk about. So let us take our Bibles today. Let us think about what we want to talk about. Let's talk about the definition of shared vision. Let's talk a little bit about that. Shared vision involves shared understanding, shared responsibility. It involves shared implementation and shared evaluation. in creating a marriage that will function according to God's decree. Now, you might say that is a lot of information. We want to talk about shared understanding between the spouses. We want to talk about the shared responsibility, the shared implementation, and then the shared evaluation. What else can we say when we see two married people who are planning, worshiping, and being attentive one to another, and they've been married 20, 30, or 40 years, some 50 or 60 years, and they are still together, functioning as a unit, doing what God wants them to do, and we say, well, what did that entail? Well, it entails the shared understanding, it entails the shared responsibility, shared implementation, and shared evaluation. All of these things are important, and I hope that we can cover some of these today in detail. First, I'd like to start out in dealing with these points, and let us talk about the shared understanding. To share understanding, there must be communication. This is important. This means that there must be a sender and a receiver, that a person must send a message and another person must receive the message. And this message must be a message that is godly, is well thought out. Sometimes we as married people and those of you who are single will do the same thing. You will send a message and it is not received. You will become concerned that that person does not understand me. That person does not hear what I'm saying. They were there physically in the room. Now, you men are probably the ones that are most guilty because we tend to try to solve problems sometimes without listening to what's being said. The wife may say, I am very tired. And the man may say, well, the best thing for you to do is just to go to sleep. The wife made a statement but was not saying that she wanted to just go to sleep right then. She may have wanted to talk, but we may jump to conclusions and we may not really receive that message. We must respond to that message and we must not suppose that a message means something. We must be certain that we understand it. So I would say our important beginning under shared understanding or to share understanding is to share communication. Must be certain of that. And there is a lot more we can say about communication. We know that's important. To share understanding, the next area I want to mention, that there must be learning. There must be learning. We know that God forgives sins. We know that in Matthew, the 18th chapter, we're told to forgive 7 times 70. So we have to learn that there must be learning that indeed there is forgiveness of sin, but we need to learn to get over the sin, to deal with it, to work toward not repeating that same sin. I have counseled in my private practice couples who repeat the same illness over and over. The problem is, they never thought about it and learned from their mistakes. It's like a child riding a bicycle. The child falls off the bicycle, falls off until the child overcomes it. Some couples never overcome it. They may be married a number of years, but they've never overcome their initial problem they had. So within the first 3 weeks of marriage, they have a problem. They have a problem that relates to communication or whatever. And that problem continues to rise over and over in the marriage, and they don't learn from their mistakes. You know, it is not wise to argue when somebody's leaving the door to go to work. Going through the door and then arguing and bringing up a terrible point to that person, that's not a good idea. Because that upsets that person as he or she walks to work, drives to work, takes a bus, whatever. That person is upset going and it endangers that person's life as well as makes the situation unresolved. So we can learn all these things, but we don't apply them. I've talked to numerous couples who knew how to act as a Christian. That couple knew exactly what to do. They knew the scriptures better than I did. They knew Ephesians 5. They knew all of the things that we're going to be talking about, yet they did not learn from their mistakes. So if you know, as you watch this presentation today, that there is something wrong in your marriage, and you know how to solve it, then today is the day to solve it. Today is the day that we change. Today is the day that we talk about it. So to share understanding, then, there must be learning. Then the next thing I must mention is to share understanding, there must be openness to change. David, in the Old Testament, realized that he must change, that he must repent when Nathan the prophet came to him. He had to repent. He had to change. There had to be openness to change. And yet we sometimes have to suffer the consequences of our sins. If we have started off on a bad foot in our marriage, or we're currently in a very deep crisis, we're going to have to be open to change, and that change is going to be difficult. It's going to be slow. And when you change, it creates vulnerability. That means that I'm sensitive at that time, and it's not easy to make that change. It means a constant thing. One of the things that you want to think about as you watch this is that in relationship to change, is that change sometimes is so difficult you're almost like an alcoholic. You tend to go back to the bad things that you were doing, and it's hard for you to overcome it. And you know that once you get back into those old negative habits of saying things to your spouse that you regret, to talking about your spouse among other people, to ignoring your spouse, all of those things, and you say, I'm not doing that anymore. Well, you're going to have to police yourself the rest of your life. You cannot simply say that I am going to change without working on it every day of your life. You cannot do that. You must realize that this is a lifelong process. George W. Bush, President of the United States, a president, a leader, he was essentially a person who had alcohol problems. He had to watch that in his life. He had to continue to watch it wherever and whatever he does. We look back to people who have been leaders of the free world. Winston Churchill had a problem with depression that he had to deal with. It was not an easy problem. It was not a problem that could be ignored. He had to address it. People who have problems have to address those problems over and over. It cannot be something that's just forgotten. Let us think a little bit about shared responsibility. Even though I understand what is to be done, there is a responsibility that I must have to do it. I must be responsible. Couples must be responsible for their roles in marriage. The Bible clearly defines the roles of each of us in marriage. And so as we're looking for this shared vision, as we are looking for this, we must be responsible for our roles in the marriage. It is clear that as men give up their roles as head of the house, a void will be filled by their wives. In fact, sometimes children actually perform the tasks of a marital leader. And you say, well, wait a minute, that can't be. Well, when the man defaults the role that he has as head of the house, and the female then defaults her role as helpmate, then we get into a problem where the children sometimes take over. And that's where when the children say, Mama, don't do that. Mama, quit smoking. Mama, quit drinking. Daddy, quit cursing. And you have children that become, in essence, the parents to the parents. And so that is one of the problems that children know in Ephesians 6 and 1 to obey their parents. They are taught that, and they must respect their parents. But what happens sometimes, the children, as we said, will end up defaulting themselves, and then there's complete anarchy. children finally give up too. They say, well, there's nothing I can do. This marriage is gone, and I want to run away. And we see runaways all over the world. There are children on the streets who have run away from their dysfunctional homes, from their homes that are in a terrible state. Children are sold into prostitution. Children are on the street living out of boxes in different parts of the world. So wherever you are today viewing this presentation, look around and see how many kids you find walking the street who actually should be in school during daytime hours. And what are they doing? These kids are in a terrible void. So under shared responsibility, we must be responsible. We also must be the next to be responsive in our marriages. We must be responsive. That means that I have to respond to someone. I have to understand what makes her sad and what makes her glad. I need to understand that what she is a reflection of me. Think about that. Because if I am not doing right, it certainly does not help her. You know, we don't tell people that we love them enough. When we see a great national tragedy, historically, such as Pearl Harbor in the United States, as we see a terrible tragedy of 2001, September 11th, we see that people began to say in those instances how much they love each other. You know, the joke is told about the older fella who was in a situation where that somebody says, well, do you tell your wife you love her? And he said, well, I told her I loved her when we got married, and if that changes, I'll let her know. Well, what we see there is the person does not exhibit the love on a continual basis. Now, I'm not trying to teach all of you men out here that you're supposed to be mushy and you're supposed to go around and just saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, because that becomes a meaningless phrase. That's something we have to watch in worship services, that we do not have trite phrases that we use. But what I'm saying is we need to tell our wives that we love them. And as Ephesians 5 is going to teach us as we talk about the men's roles later on, we need to know how much we love our wives. So we have to be responsive. We have to be able to respond one to another. The next area is couples must be willing to admit mistakes. Yes, we go back to that. We talked a little bit about it when we know how many times we have to have forgiveness. But I have to be willing to go to my wife, Janice, and I have to be able to say, I am sorry. I made a mistake. I made an error. And have you ever seen how people react when there is a sincere apology? People will react. Spouses will react. People must realize that there's nothing wrong for a man or woman to come and apologize. That is not a problem. We must be willing to honestly admit our mistakes. One of the things that we see in that admission also leads into the next area, that as we're admitting mistakes, we need to have decisions made along with God's will. That's the main reason for the decision. So I need to know the Scriptures. I need to read the Bible and understand what God's will is, because that's the only way I'm going to know what God's will is, by reading the Scriptures. God's will has been revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. And so therefore, decisions must be made with the Scripture being consulted. You know, somebody says, well, do you pray when you're in trouble? I say, absolutely. But I'm going to tell you, when I'm about to do something, I pray also prior to it. So when you say, we just bought a ranch, we just bought a farm, we just bought a car, we just bought this, but we're having some trouble, my question would be, did you pray about this before you did this? Did you pray about your daily activities? Did you pray that God would help you? Pray before for God's guidance, to be sure. Then you pray during and then post, after it. That's important, to pray all the time. Bible is quick to point out, to pray without ceasing. You know, as we look at that, Jesus, in John 12, verse 48, he pointed some things out here to us that the words that he's spoken is the word or words that's going to judge us in that final day. So I cannot ignore what has been said in the Bible. There in John, that verse 48 is so important, that you have to realize that we're going to be judged by what Jesus said. And Steve Springer cannot come up with an excuse and say, well, I didn't know, I just, forgot, I was just, not paying attention. That's not going to work in that final day. So we know that his words on marriage and his words on love are going to judge us. Well, let's continue going into this. Let's look at shared implementation. How do we implement this? We've got to work together. So we've thought about all of these areas so far, and now we've got to implement what we're doing. So if we're going to have this shared vision that we talked about at the beginning, as we try to talk about this, we want to now talk about the implementation phase. That's kind of important, isn't it? You have to do something. Now I have the knowledge, I've been studying the Bible, and now I need to go ahead and learn it. I've learned it, now I need to implement it. Do what you need to do. United States Army had a statement called be, know, and do. You've got to be the soldier, you've got to know what you have to do, and then you have to do it. Be, know, and do. Very appropriate for a marriage. I have to be a Christian, I have to know what to do, and I have to implement it. I have to do what I know I need to do. One of the things that we might say is that shared implementation, success in a marriage or failure does not rest with one person. It doesn't rest with one person. I cannot make the marriage that I have work without the help of my spouse, Janice, and she cannot make the marriage work without my help. This means that when we see a marital problem, both of us have to work on it. If I say I'm 99% responsible, she has 1%. She's going to have to work on that 1%. So when you elders here that are watching this have a person that comes to you and says, Brother so-and-so, I have a problem with my marriage, I urge you to ask the other person to come in too. Listen to them as they talk about it, as both individuals discuss their marital situation, because success or failure does not rest with one person. Even if one person is doing the best he or she can, you need the other person to be attentive to work on it. The next area is success or failure means continued progress. Success or failure means continued progress. So that means that I can't say that I have arrived, that I have reached the pinnacle of my marriage, that I have done everything I need to do, that yes, I've read the Bible, I've read Genesis and what God wanted to be, that I would leave and cleave to my wife. I can't say that I have mastered all these things and now everything's over with. We have a wonderful marriage. You can say that, but you need to continue to work. You need to continue to work to improve. Those 50, 60-year-old marriages that continue, they are watching. They are doing the things they need to do for their spouse. Continued progress. We become better with progress. I want to tell you, we need to continue to date our spouses, to ask them to go to talk, to go somewhere, go for a walk, go to the park, wherever you need to go for relaxation. Have something planned with your spouse. Look forward to the end of the week. Talk about what are we going to do? What are we planning to do? Well, you may be working together. You may be short on money, but there's something that you can do with each other. You can take some time to remember what it was when you first met your spouse and remember that great love that you had. You've got to be interesting. Continue to learn. Continue to read and study the Bible together. Go places, as we said. Whether it is anything great or any great travel that you're doing, that's not the point. The point is doing something with your spouse, doing something that's important to her or him. And so that is continued progress. Continue to make progress. Continue to move forward. Continue to do the things that you need to do. And of course, the next one is success or failure means the ability to adjust your course in marriage. What are you saying? Brother Springer, what are you saying? Well, I'm saying you may have to change what you're doing. I may not be doing the things I need to do at this time. I need to change my course. Christopher Columbus was the great explorer, 1492. Other explorers came and they adjusted their course to explore all around the continent. And so that's important, but you may have to change your course. All couples have peaks and valleys, kind of like a situation where you climb up a hill and you go down. Things are good up here. Things dip because of some event. And we have to then say, we have to make a change here. When do you make it? You make it now. Failure is not an option. Apollo 13, the terrible disaster, space disaster that the United States faced at that time and the difficulty of getting the astronauts back to Earth, the key phrase was failure was not an option. And that is where we are at this particular juncture in time. We have no option. We cannot fail because we want to know that all of our family will go to heaven and as many other people as we can impact. And so failure is no option. Well, let me tell you about the next one. We've got to have implementation lifelong. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Lifelong implementation. This does not mean, again, that I'm 20 years old and I'm married and everything is initiated. We have a wonderful system and I'm done. Implementation lifelong. Even as we age, and if the Lord wills it, that we will grow into the 80s or 90s or even some to over 100. Some say that anyone born after 1960 could live to be over 100 years old. That does not mean that we implement it for just a short, brief time. That does not mean that. That means that we work very hard all our life, that we do exactly what we need to do. So, we need to think about this, shared implementation. We need to share the implementation. We need to have continued progress. We need to understand that we need to adjust our course, and it's a lifelong situation. I want to talk to you about the next one, a major category, share evaluation. I've got to evaluate who I am. I've got to see who I am. I've got to be sure that I'm doing what's right. And this is important because I need to be sure that I have evaluated, that I've looked at myself, that I look to see that I am what I should be as a Christian father, a Christian parent, a Christian husband. So shared evaluation is important. Let's talk about that. Effects of your decisions vary on the family members. So if I get a new job and want to move to another city, I must realize that I'm affecting my wife and my children because I may take my wife away from helping her mother, and her mother may need that help in that city. And I may move my children to a school that they do not need to move to. Maybe that's a school they should not attend. I need to weigh those decisions and I need to talk about them and I need to become very open with my family to talk about that. So my decisions, my wife's decisions, have an effect on family members. There is a residual effect. There is a tremendous effect no matter what we do. It varies based on family members. Well, evaluation must be ongoing, which is the next one I'd like to mention. It's ongoing. It's formative. It's ongoing. I have to look at myself on a daily basis. I have to buffet myself on a daily basis. I have to look at what God has taught, and I have to be sure that He has taught me and I have accepted it. I have to be sure that I accept it. So we have to have an ongoing. I have to look at myself every day. When you pray at the end of the day, when you pray as you're going somewhere, when you pray as you're eating, examine yourself to see if you're worthy. That's ongoing or formative evaluation. Now the next one is, after each milestone in a marriage reached, there must be a summative evaluation. What does that mean? Summative is a final evaluation. Every time you do something, look at what you've done together as a family. Summative evaluation. As we move along, we buy a house, we have children, we still are in different parts of our lives. And every time you have something happen, go back and look at it. Did we pray to God before this decision was met? How are we doing? The children have reached the fifth grade. We have achieved this. What about the fifth grade? How did it do with the children? We moved to town X or town Y. How was that? Go back and look back on these things so that you can learn, get into this shared vision and say, yes, we understand. So it's important that we create a summative evaluation. It is important that we reflect back on these major events. Now, we talked about formative a while ago, ongoing, daily. Steve Springer's got to look at his life and say, am I doing what God wants me to do? Have I said, have I treated my wife, my children? We also note that as this summative evaluation, we note that 2 Timothy, 4th chapter, verses 6 through 8, that there is a crown of righteousness laid up for him who has fought the good fight, who has run the race. So the summative evaluation, in essence, is that you look backwards, forwards, you look at the whole thing and see, and you know that God is a righteous judge. You know what He has done and what He will do. You evaluate it. You know that there's that crown of righteousness waiting. And you know, many of you have suffered greatly in your lives from the hands of unrighteous spouses, from the hands of people who did not like Christians. But we know that Christians can overcome because Christ overcame. And we know that you can build your marriage the way that Christ has wanted it to be done. You can do that. And as you go through the steps that we've talked about here today and we have provided for you, we ask you to take that Bible out and carefully read it each day as a daily Bible reader. Study it. Work on it. You know, in looking as far as conclusions to what has been said today, there's a lot of material and we could keep going in shared vision. I would urge you to, again, as we said, to study. But shared vision involves us working together, not at cross purposes to establish a will for a marriage. God remains clear that there is one man and one woman. And those of you who are in this audience who are not married, you must be careful as you evaluate what marriage is, and as you look toward this shared vision. I urge you to talk to those around you who are Christians, the godly Christians who have been studying together and working together, and ask them, what about your marriage? How did it remain as it is? How did it do? How did these things happen? So I ask you to consider it's working together, not at cross purposes, that God's will reign supreme. And I ask you too to also think about that you must practice all of these things daily. As the Bereans did, you're going to search the Scriptures daily and look for the Scriptures and see what the Scriptures say. We must do all of these things. Talk to your children so that they understand your values and they understand that when they choose a spouse, that they are seeking the godly spouse, that they themselves will reach the point of greater understanding of what the Bible says. The Bible is our guide. The Bible has provided our particular ability to do what we need to do. It's there. It's there for us. It gives us the road, and we must follow that road. We do not want frustration in marriage. We do not want the anger that we talked about before. We do not want the terrible things that currently exist in the world. We know the devil is hard at work to destroy the institution of marriage. No matter where you live, you know that that is true. We urge you then to take the Bible, study, and begin this road to the shared vision. Thank you.